This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, this is Theater Geeks.
This is Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts.
There's been no drinking at this table at all.
Yes, sir.
Just water.
Yeah, this is Dave, the stage manager. Speaking of tech.
Wow, that was quite a transition.
What a transition. There you go.
But obviously, we're talking about tech
all
today.
All stage managers sound like this, don't
they?
They do, because they
get the hell off the stage, will you?
Yeah,
that's a stage manager. That's my stage manager voice. Actually, we want to talk this episode about tech rehearsals and having your tech ready in time. And one of the things we were talking about, a lot of new shows, or not necessarily new shows, but a lot of shows today and a lot of theaters will integrate their tech people right into the cast of the play,
sure,
as it were.
Actually, even some shows are being written that way now.
Yeah, and I think it started with a lot of musicals that when you get out into the hinterlands, which is where we perform, and they don't have...
There's a sign right outside that says Hinterlands. Welcome to the Hinterlands.
Very well. Just if you like. But you don't have all the electronic stuff that they use in the original big production. Uh-huh. There's no revolving turntables. There's no sliding on and off electrically. So you have to use bodies to do this,
right?
And if you're doing a show that's set like in the early 1900s or something, and the stagehands or actors have to come on and help move set pieces or scenery, it really helps to have them at least dressed
right
to fit into that time period, and they don't come out with like Bermuda shorts and t-shirts that say I am so and so. I mean, that just kind of really breaks the mood, even though they're just changing sets and it's kind of dark on the stage.
Well, and it can be kind of fun for the audience. When we did Sherlock Holmes, The Final Adventure, a couple of years ago, we costumed the crew because we knew the set was minimal. We had flaps and things that had to go open and close, and there were actually things that got carried out as set pieces and people would hold them and then go off. And so we dressed people in Victorian type outfits, and they really were, in essence, like characters in the show.
Yeah.
And the next show that we're doing that's coming up here soon really pretty much calls for it.
Yeah.
In fact, the actors will be part of the crew, but we'll have another crew a full crew that actually is also in costume and has in some cases a couple of lines here and there.
Yeah. I mean, I like to see it. I really do. Uh-huh. I mean, it doesn't, like you said, Marcia, it doesn't take you out of the world of the play.
Exactly.
No. So and so many shows now, good or bad, are being written either they're based on movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of times they're based on movies or they're being written like a television show. And where you have the ability to change from scene to scene to scene to scene, it goes quickly, and you have to be able to move quickly and efficiently. You don't want to bore your audience with a 15-minute scene change. All of your scene changes need to take 15 place.
15-minute scene change. I think that's called intermission.
That's called first, first tech.
First tech, right.
But you know what I'm saying. Okay, so I'm exaggerating. But I've been to some shows where some of the scene changes have taken 45 seconds to a minute.
And yeah, it's like,
that's
too much.
Really? Awful. Please, let's get this done.
And they're clunky.
And if it can be done in a more choreographed manner and so that it becomes part of the show, it makes the show seamless. And I, as a techie anyway, I love to watch that happen. I like to watch the scene change.
So to achieve this, you have to rehearse it.
And it has to be rehearsed.
You can't just say, okay, here, now you carry this table over to stage left and put it on the X there.
Plop.
And clonk, clonk, clonk. You can't do that.
Right.
You
no.
have to choreograph
Each
it,
move
really.
Has to be choreographed.
Right.
This chair comes on first, then this flap will move, then this will happen, and this.
Well,
so that it becomes a
I love it.
Part of the whole directing scheme.
Well, yeah, and you have to involve people in the rehearsal process, especially for that kind of crew. much earlier than you would in in a more conventional crew situation.
Yeah, you really
although it kind of begs the whole question, the crew ought to be as well rehearsed as obviously as the cast anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of crews, even if they're not costumed, even if they are doing the traditional in the dark
black
stagehand work, they got to know where they're going every moment.
And I think it makes them feel much more a part of the entire production.
Yeah,
you know, it does. They may quibble a little bit about, oh, why do we have to come to rehearsals and just sit and watch and blah, blah, blah. But in the long run, I think they're very happy to do it.
Well, and I think that is, you know, in community theater, especially if you bring the cast, if you bring that crew into the cast earlier, first of all, they're better rehearsed, and then you don't have a cast that's standing around kind of complaining, well, he's, you know, the crew's just a bunch, he's kind of dumb, you know. Mm-hmm. And I nip that kind of talk in the bud with my cast when I direct, because it's like, but you hear it, you know, once in a while,
where, well, yeah,
they feel like, gee, why am I standing around for these people? Why don't they just turn the darn light on? Well, you know what? You've been with the show for 10 weeks or 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is, and these people are walking into it cold, which I think is probably not a good idea. But if they haven't been there before, they don't know.
Yeah.
So they've got to learn the script. They got to learn where the moves are, make their notes, and that's it's important.
Well, and we've talked about this in the past. Don't, as a performer, ever make your tech crew angry.
No, yeah, that's right. No, don't take
it. I mean, most
props
of them
are mislaid.
Well, it can get very cold backstage very quickly, and then asking for any help or anything like that may not come as quickly as what you might. They may not mess around with your props and things like that, but they may be less likely to want to help you. You know, like you say, could you please place this over here? Well, 3 days ago, you yelled at them for not having something in place. You know, it's like we're all working together to create a final picture, a final image. And, like the crew doesn't want to make the actors mad. I mean, if you're a pushy crew person and it's like you're pushing through the wings because you think you're the more important because you got to get something done, well, that's not good either. You know, we work together as a group, as a team or a family or however you want to say it, but we work together to create the final
product. Right, right.
And I think you have to remember that actors work for at least six weeks, 8 weeks for a musical on getting down where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, what their lines are, what their character is. You can't expect a tech crew to come in on Sunday when you're opening the next Friday and get everything down perfectly.
Right.
They have to be a part of that whole production from several weeks out. As soon as you get up on the stage,
well, and as there's soon as even there are a pieces semblance
to start moving. Of a set, things to start that are going to have to be moved, they need to be there and know it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the crew, this also brings up the other point, is that I think the crew, especially in a conventional show where they maybe not be, they're not as integrated with the cast up front, that the crew and the tech crew in total has kind of its own rehearsal time, which we've sometimes called a dry tech or
dry
the
Q-to-Q.
They've got to have a chance to do it without it being without feeling like they're in the actor's way. And in a Q-to-Q rehearsal, the actors are there, but the actors are just props. I mean, essentially, for that rehearsal, because they stand there. Mm. Does the light look good? Do we need to change this? Do we need to change that?
And they say their lines, but without any interpretation.
Right.
And sometimes
right.
the actors aren't even there.
Yeah, they just go from, you have somebody that knows where their spots are. Get another cast crew member
to just stick to the spot. But yeah, it's really good to have at least one of those kind of rehearsals, because then the crew comes in at least feeling like, okay, we're not going to totally mess up the first tech rehearsal.
I did a show that I wish I had done a dry tech or a Q-to-Q on. Mm-hmm. When I produced Annie a few years ago, and we were so busy trying to put the show in. It was off-site. We were trying to get it in location, and I didn't want to take time away from the cast for a rehearsal for a dry tech.
Right.
And because of that, my frustration level was getting more and more or higher, because I couldn't get the crew to move into positions quickly enough. I couldn't get them to understand the need for the urgency to move it. And to the point where I jumped up on stage one night to help move the set, because it was just like, I'm just done. That staircase needs to move. Let's get it moved. Only to have the crew do what they were supposed to do and have my thumb shoved between the staircase and a moving platform because I was in the wrong place. And it's like, and they say, oh, okay, first of all, I learned my lesson. Don't jump up on stage as the director. secondly, maybe if I had gone ahead and said to myself, Monday's going to be a dry tech. No matter what, we're just going to take Monday night, and we're going to run the tech for this show so that the crew understands where it needs to be and the sense of urgency for getting it there on time.
Yeah.
And it would have really solved some issues. So instead, we ended up having to take an hour and a half out of a good rehearsal to do a partial tech rehearsal, which then it would have just been helpful to have the entire rehearsal scheduled just for the tech.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Randy Zonker, who's been on here a couple of times, on the podcast a couple of times, and I are working on a show now, and I was putting together the rehearsal schedule, and I just put, you know, Friday before dress week, it says dry tech. And he looked at it, he goes, wow. He goes, it's like, I actually remembered, you know, it was kind of funny. He goes, cause he's going to be stage managing. He said, thank you. Because this show that we're getting, that I'm doing now that I'm directing now is going to be tricky. And
but yes and no, but here's the thing. Because it's a simpler show in the fact that there isn't as much, it's like a musical and things have to hit at the right time.
Right.
But it's not like a huge musical where there are backdrops coming in and out all the time and things like that.
Yeah.
So for the most part, you may have actually run the majority of your tech 2 weeks prior to your dry tech.
Because
and then if that's the case and you're ready to go, then cancel your dry tech. If you really don't feel like you need it, cancel it.
Well, that's right. Schedule it. You can always cancel it, right?
But block it in. But there's no reason not to have it scheduled on your schedule.
Yeah. That's true.
The last show that I assistant directed was Lend Me a Tenor here at Elkhart Civic Theater. And the director had the tech rehearsal scheduled in. Now, we didn't schedule it with actors because the idea was to just make sure that things were in place, that light cues were happening when they were supposed to. So it was my responsibility as a stage manager / assistant director to read the final cue and make, you know, so I would go in and I'd lay on the bed and I would say the final cue. And then we wanted to do it so that the lighting and the sound could all make sure that it's taking place at the right time, that if there's a transition with the scene, that it has a chance to work, even if the actors aren't involved with that. It still was very helpful for the crew to have that day on their own to be able to make sure everything was right. And if there were things that needed to be worked out, then you're not holding the entire rehearsal up while you're trying to figure out, well, okay, instead of playing 75 seconds of this music, we only need 45 seconds of this music. It takes sometimes 15 minutes to figure out you only need 45 seconds.
Right.
And you're not holding up the actors while they're, and they don't, then they get cold, then they get frustrated, then it's like, you know,
involving your crew early and in some cases by themselves is really, it not only helps the show technically, it also helps the show emotionally.
That's a big part.
And it's also extremely important that if you're going to do a tech rehearsal, make sure that the major tech pieces are in place and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because, so often in community theater, it seems like we get behind an eight ball and some of the tech things aren't done as quickly as what they need to be. But, you know, if you're going to have a tech rehearsal, then make sure all your rolling platforms are done. They don't necessarily have to be completely painted, but they need to be done and ready to roll. If you've got backdrops, if they're not painted, that's fine, but they need to be in the right place and ready to go so that when you're doing your tech, even if a backdrop comes in and it has a New York skyline on it and you're in the middle of Kansas, it still is a backdrop ready to go so that they are used to pulling those things in and out when they need to come in and out. And all too often, some tech in community theaters will get pushed to the last minute, and then your crew is scampering trying to figure out how to make it all fit together.
Right,
and they may only have one performance before the cast and the crew are working on that, or one rehearsal, working on the show as a performance.
That's right.
That's
no good.
And that's not fair to the cast or the crew or to the audience who's coming on opening night.
No,
so exactly.
You know, and so that's why in our theater we have our tech is to be finished 1 week prior to opening. No matter what, our tech is finished 1 week prior to opening. Sometimes almost always I'm successful. Sometimes I'm not. I will say sometimes things haven't gotten put.
But if that's the objective, it's relatively minor stuff. Usually
it's minor stuff that isn't finished, you know, or like you've built something and in the tech rehearsal you go, oh, Oh, this concept just didn't work. How are we going to make it work? Marsha, we had that issue with Drowsy Chaperone and the biplane.
How are
we going to make this biplane come on stage?
And it was so cool when it finally did.
Once it finally hit, but it was like, oh my gosh. And it took us, what, 15 minutes, though, to figure out how to get the biplane on stage.
John is wonderful with that.
Yeah. And it was built, but it was built. It just, for some reason, technically, it wasn't as well thought out as what we thought it was, you know? Right, so it was like, and so, but at least we had it in place ready to go for our first tech dress.
That was so cool.
You know, and then it took a while for it to figure it out.
Yeah, that was so, okay. I think we've wrapped up that. And did you get rid of that fly finally? John, I'm sitting here.
Thank you very much.
I'm getting the giggles here because John's fighting a fly while he's trying to talk. Now it's going to bother me too. Before we close down, I want to ask you, what is our favorite honorary theater geek doing in Indianapolis?
She is doing a new play by James Stills, who is the resident playwright for Indiana Repertory Theater. And she is doing a new play called The House That Jack Built.
Okay.
And it opens at, I have dates, but I can't remember, the end of October, and it runs through the weekend after Thanksgiving. So if you're wanting to take a side trip to Indianapolis, it's a great city.
Yeah.
I really like it. Yeah. Just pop on their website and get a ticket.
Indiana Repertory, right?
Indiana Repertory Theater, IRT.
IRT, and we're talking about.
I was going to say
Dee Dee Lovejoy. Yeah. Deirdre Lovejoy is our honorary theater geek who has been on a number of episodes, both in person and via Skype for the.
She's a Skype light. Right.
That's right. Anyway, so
we love Dee Dee.
So go and see Dee Dee. I think
it's a good play.
Most of us are going to go.
I have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them do reading of it back to stage readings in New Harmony this spring, and it's a small cast and it's a really good show.
Good.
Everybody will enjoy it.
Okay.
Nothing offensive.
All right.
How
great.
Strange.
Be sure and stop by the Theater Geek store, theatergeeks.com/store, where you can buy things like teddy bears,
coffee mugs,
and
underwear, sweatshirts,
underwear. T-shirts. He said it.
I'm trying to block him out.
Hey, it's been a couple of episodes.
Yes.
Actually,
it's still there.
There's some other stuff on there. There's like buttons and other. There's some stuff that nobody wants, but there's also. The Theater Geek store has nice T-shirts. They are. You buy a T-shirt from there. It's quality fabric. It's not something that like cheapo fall apart type stuff.
It won't shrink when you put it in them.
No. And they look good. They actually do a nice job. It's our Cafe Press store, and they do a really, really nice job with that. Remember that you can also subscribe to Theater Geeks. Please subscribe. It's free, and you get it from. You can subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Really, really simple. Go to the website, and there's some instructions there. But iTunes is probably the easiest. If you have an Android device, then you have to come up with another podcatcher. One of them is called Downcast. Pretty good one. You can use that.
Oh, that sounds depressing.
But it actually works really well. It's one that I use actually on my iPhone.
Is there a survey still going on?
There is a survey still going on, yes. If you please go to the website and fill out our audience survey. It's private, personal, private, non-personal. What did I say that?
We keep the information private.
It is not, there is nothing personal asked of you, just some general stuff about who you are and it's nothing that we would ever sell anyway, but it's for us to sort of analyze the audience.
Look at who our visitors are.
That's right. And who our visitors are. And it also frankly helps us with the potential for advertising. So just, if you were willing to help us out, that would be great. You go to the website, the survey will
And another great way to help us out is by sending us some
topics.
We love more topics, folks.
Really. We really want new things to talk about.
That's right. That's right. And so that's I think that wraps us up.
Do you need to say anything about Blueberry Network?
Blueberry Network. There we go.
With
that's
movies.
The Blueberry. We are the Blueberry. That's a that's another place you can listen to us is on the Blueberry Network. Blueberry, Blueberry with no E's. There's other podcasts there as well. And we're also on, and I fail to mention this, because we're on Blueberry, we're also available on your Roku set-top box if you watch television with an internet TV.
Do you realize that we've spoken longer about how you can listen to us than we actually spoke?
No, right. We haven't.
Oh, yeah, Dave. You just don't know.
That's not true.
We love you, Dave.
I refuse to believe that.
Okay.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you next time on Theater Geeks. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dufour reminding you to listen to Thriller Thursday, a brand new podcast here on the Dufour Creative Network about the world of the thriller, novels, upcoming authors, news, and happenings in the thriller sphere. So don't miss it every Thursday at LarryDThompson.com/podcast, or you can catch it on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. That's Thriller Thursday every Thursday.
Thriller Thursday is a production of the Dufour Creative Network and Larry D. Thompson, because everyone needs a thrill once in a while.